Welcome to the beginning of the emergency episode being recorded less than 12 hours from its release.
Oh,
The
yeah.
last minute.
If we had a soundboard like Caleb, we could make a siren sound right now. Woo, woo, woo.
We could.
An emergency episode. Woo, woo. The last, I don't know how many hours it is now. It's a lot of hours. So on Monday night or Tuesday, what day is it today? Thursday? Yeah. So
Thursday.
on Tuesday night, Paisley had soccer that went till midnight.
Wow.
And then I drove home and went to bed for 3 hours and got up and went to the yard. And then I got to the yard at quarter after five. And then I worked till 11:30 last night. And then I came home and slept for 3 hours. And then I went back to the yard, and then I worked all day today until I got to here. Well, I watched TV for half an hour with Kelly and had something to eat. But other than that, I've been basically working all that time. And what I've concluded is that getting old sucks, and that there was a time when I wouldn't even have been tired from this. But now I'm having trouble focusing my brain on simple tasks because I'm just that overtired. Now, I also have been doing the Hardscape keto diet and haven't eaten any carbs for almost 2 weeks at all.
I can
So,
tell you look slimmer.
really?
No.
I know. I lost 1 pound.
Nice. Off to
It's
a good
better than
start.
not losing 1 pound.
Does your body feel better? Can you get in and out of the truck better? Or
So
no?
yesterday, Kelly and I were actually just talking about this. So yesterday we moved 500 bags of soil in the, like the dumpsters you see people pushing around on big commercial sites, the black, the gray plastic ones.
Yeah.
So we moved 500 bags of soil from the trucks into a freight elevator and then up to the third floor and then out to the balcony. Well, we moved them to the third floor to the balcony where the DPR boys, Derek and Jordan and Jose distributed them into the planter. But the loading dock is low enough you can get big trucks in, but that means that when you leave the loading dock, there's a steep ramp to get up to the freight elevator. So you're pushing these carts all night. We started with 20 bags. I have a video of the 20 bag cart pushing Kyle backwards down the ramp. So we went to 10 bags, but even at 10 bags, it was a hard push because 30, 31 bags makes a yard or 30 bags or something. So you're pushing a third of a yard in the bags up this. So Kelly and I decided that had I not been doing this diet, I would have never survived doing it. So I must feel better. And I'm
Yeah.
proud to say I only took one extra thing Advil during the whole thing. I thought that was pretty good for me
Yeah,
because I'm
that's all
slowly
right.
becoming addicted to painkillers, which is going to be super fun. I've smoked, I drank excessively till I was 18. I feel like at 50, painkiller addiction could be me. I think
Trend.
I could do a painkiller addiction. I feel like it.
A lot of people can do a painkiller addiction.
Yeah. I think
It's pretty easy to get into.
I agree. Let me tell you. Because now, even, well, always, my, I'm just always, anyways, I actually was functioning and walking today, which about halfway through the night when we were at about 250 bags, I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk tomorrow. I'm seriously questioning. It was the hardest I've worked in a really long time. We did the whole 500 bags. We started at about 6 o'clock, 6:15, and we were gone by 10.
Wow. How many people?
There was three. So Billy was loading the bags into the cart. Kyle and I were the runners running the carts to the elevator. Then we'd get to the third floor, and then Derek would take the carts and run them out to the balcony. And then Jordan and Jose were in the planter dumping the bags. Here's the scariest part of this whole operation. There's now 56 yards in this planter. It's supposed to be 6 inches down from the top. It's eight. In theory, we should probably have to take another 5 to 8 yards up there.
Wow.
That's not happening.
Do you think they're gonna let it slide? They're gonna just say
Jack has
8 inches is okay.
Jack has figured out that there will be between a yard and a half yard of displacement when we plant the plants. Because
Ah. But with the rain coming, and then probably soaked down a bit.
Oh, no.
And then we cannot forget the mulch factor.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I would sell them on a liberal coating of mulch. It seems so a little lighter.
We have four skids of mulch, which equals out to, I think, 6 yards. So we have 6 yards of mulch for this planter. And I said to Jack, if this needs to come up in any way, the mulch bags weigh nothing. So this will be a heavily mulched son of a bitch. In this planter, there's 250 plants and 3 trees. That's fucking wild. Yeah, it's a wild thing. Yeah,
it's Is it irrigated?
Thing. Yes.
Oh.
Not my contract. I don't want anything to do it. We're so close to being done this thing.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead then.
I had a meeting with our irrigation stub on a job, and it was the same old song and dance. Just put my pipes in. Just put these conduits in before you start so that I can get to it after. And it's probably a day's worth of running conduit across this job site. I'm just like, just this, just that. It's never just this. Like, and then when it's wrong, it's my fault. Right?
I would have just said no.
Well,
if the sub's not working for me.
Yeah, he's not working for me.
If we're paying the sub, like he's working for us, that's part of the markup that you have to deal with, right? Like that's why you mark up a sub, because there's always gonna be some painful bullshit you have to take care of. If they're not working for me, I tell them it's not my fucking problem.
The excuse is, well, I can't get to it for another month or whatever, right? But you're here now, so you can do it now.
Again, not my problem. Dig it later then. If you can't prioritize being here when the general needs this done, that's not my problem.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
I would hand the pipes to the general contractor and say, assign a laborer to bury these pipes. I don't have
time. There is no general contractor. It's a residential job, and I'm the landscape contractor.
No, I would hand, if it's residential, then I'd super tell the guy to fucking suck a dick.
No, he's great. He's a buddy of mine also,
residential, I would fucking scream in the guy's face right in front of the homeowner. This is not my fucking problem, bro. Yeah, you figure out how to prioritize.
Yeah, I tend not to scream anymore.
I wish I didn't.
But so anyway, I got a day's full of irrigation conduit to put
so
in.
So you took it on.
Going up. Well, so if someone has to do it, I can't not do it.
Right.
So
I got a question for you guys about that with commercial. Because last week, PK, you talked about how you had to dissect the contract with your general about the soil and who's paying for what, the materials, the labor, and whatever. And Chad, you do a lot of commercial. You guys both do commercial. I don't do any. At what point do you like sour a relationship with a general and not getting any more work from them if you squeeze them over the contract or over change orders and so on and so forth there?
As long as you're low bid, it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't even matter.
For the most part, they'll come back unless you really fuck something up.
You won't sour a relationship if he keeps coming to you for something and you say no, the contract says this and so on and so forth.
The problem is then we can go to them too. Like, I don't know. It depends on the general. I've had one time we were doing this job. It was in like September and it was kind of rainy week. And the general came and started yelling at me because we got mud on the road. And mind you, we were spreading soil and there was mud on the road. And they were freaking out. So I just turned and said, I'm packing up all this shit. I have 15 other places I can be. I probably won't see you till the spring. Bye. And I packed up all the shit and I left. When I got back to the yard, the boss was like, what the fuck? And I was like, they'll call us. And they'll be more desperate. And we just taught them a fucking lesson. And they're going to learn. And they're going to learn how to behave. And they're going to learn how to act. And so I didn't put them back on the schedule till December. And they were getting fined like $800 a day for not being done. And when I came back, I said to them, now you've learned. Don't fuck with me. And we still work for them all the time. That's probably the shittiest I've treated a general. Wow. Not quite. One time we were working in this townhouse complex and I was like maybe 40 at the time, 35. And the site super was like 21. And he came and started yelling at me. And I screamed at him so much, so intensely, that I told him he had to go stand in the corner and think about what he'd done. And I literally yelled at him so much that he stood in the corner for 2 hours to think about what he'd done with his back turned. Because he was so fucking scared.
Holy shit.
And then I got banned from the, then they banned me from the site.
They banned you from the site.
Kicked off the site.
I mean, for the most part, GCs don't want to make your life difficult, right? Like, you all want to work together in the easiest way possible to get the job done, right? Whenever I show up on site, my first meeting isn't, hey, fuck you, this is in the way, let's get this moved, we got to get going here. It's, hey, great, we're here to start work, how can we help? Let us know if you need anything from us. We got machines if you need a couple things moved, whatever. Can we go over some things, you know? Like, we're extending the olive branch first thing, right? Mm-hmm. And if they want to treat... Go ahead, Mike.
No, talk. I also think that, like, how we generally approach it is, like, say where we're working at Canoe Museum right now, I don't know how it happened, and I'm not here to judge it, but the subgrade is, like, 2 feet too low.
Oof.
And we kept saying it's like 2 feet too low. It's 2 feet too low. But on the flip side, the civil guy was getting paid to haul soil away by the load. It's not shocking. It's 2 feet too low. I'm not saying anyone was doing anything. You can do some simple math. And They said subgrade was right. Everyone said it was perfect. So we put 6 inches of soil on it and then left. Now, the limestone pathways are 18 inches out of the ground. Like, it's crazy. It's not even at the bottom of the concrete sidewalks. But we did 6 inches. You can go check it. And then we said how Jack approached it was, he just said to them, we put in the 6 inches by contract. If you want to put in the rest of it yourself, cool. If you want to go to the civil guy and say the grade was wrong, cool. We don't care. We did what we're contractually obligated to do. You let us know how you want to handle it, and we'll move that forward that way.
Woof. We've been in that situation before at a school job. So civil came, they did all the rough grading and all this shit, right? And then the GC goes, okay, they're ready for you to come in, check the grade on everything before, because as soon as you put a spoonful of soil down, it's your baby. Like, it's your problem to deal with if it's off, right? So we ended up spending $3,500 on this fucking total station to come in and check the grade to make sure we could work, right?
Could you? But,
some parts of it we could work on. Some parts were wrong. And then, like, it ended up being still like a $20,000 topsoil error, right? So we ate shit on that. But
why wasn't the civil responsible for proving that they'd done the work correctly?
I don't know. They were also an incompetent civil, but I mean, that's no excuse. I think they withheld money from them. The GC withheld from them anyway, but we never saw that money, obviously, right? So
no, God, no.
It's some GCs are tough, right? Because the more they give you, the less money they make. So I think a good quality of a GC for being a general contractor is trying to put all your problems on someone else or making other people pay for your problems. Like, even the big civil contractors do that a lot with us. They try and throw their weight around and shit. But I mean, the necessarily evil, we have to work with them. What do you do? Or we just go back to residential all the time and smile and eat shit from homeowners. So
no matter what you're doing, you're in, well, like, so it became apparent that we weren't going to get paid to move the soil up to the balcony in the ongoing negotiations. Now, I made I made it abundantly clear in no way was I paying for materials, because that has absolutely fuck all to do with me. I didn't estimate it. I didn't buy it. It's not on my account. Like I said, this, the lack of soil is your fucking problem. Now, if you want to debate the moving of the soil, technically we're supposed to install it, not move it up. So we handle the soil on the ground and we handle the soil on the top according to contract, but we do not handle the soil in the middle. That's their fucking problem. Crane, elevator, whatever. That being said, they've been really good to us and they have a lot more work that we've bid. So, you know, for me, I made it clear that we want last shot. We're happy to help you in this moment. We will help you. We will move the soil up, but I want last fucking shot.
What does last shot mean?
I want the last shot. If someone's, if my price is 50,000 and someone else's is 48, I want the last fucking shot. I want to go 47.5.
Deal. Fair.
And, yeah. and then I'll move your fucking soil up.
Yeah.
Everyone has something to negotiate with. Everyone has something to give.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the thing is, there's going to be a million people that are going to say, yeah, but what if they don't do that? And I would say, well, I was moving the fucking soil up anyways.
You had to.
I need our money from that job. Like, we need our money. We need our money from that job. So we're going to move this over 5 hours of soil moving and a truck driving down. Like, I wasn't going to pooch the whole job over that. But at the end of the day, we let them sit on it for like a week and sweat it out before we said we'd do it. And then we said, like, we want last shot on the next three jobs. And they agreed that that was 100% fair. And they like us because we agreed to move the soil up. So I believe we'll leave that job on very, very good terms with them, considering the last contractor stole a shit ton of money from them and fucked off and went bankrupt. So I think that we will leave on really good terms with them because that's not going to happen with us. So I think they will give us a good shot. And the other thing is the project manager will tell that, like, that's a huge company we're working for. It's like multinational, like all over the world. So they have a lot of project managers and a lot of stuff going on in Toronto. So they're going to tell the project managers, these are good guys to deal with. They're more than fair. So we tried to get as much as we could out of it. I'm not saying we're going to, like, maybe they'll just say, fuck these guys and never call us again. But at least we got one of the jobs that we really wanted for the fall. I know they kicked the, like they said, you guys are the only bid. So it's a matter of going through scope to make sure we covered all the scope that they need. Like, you know, it's a big job. So it just, there's lots of ways to negotiate with things. It doesn't have to be money. Money would be the best.
Right.
But I mean, nobody likes to deal with someone new anyway, right? Like, you want to work with people that you know. So even if you didn't hit it out of the park, if you were personable and you got along really well with the site guys and stuff like that, they'll pump your tires for the next one.
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah. Because you worked with them, you know they're solid enough, you know they have the equipment to do the shit. That, for a GC, I think beats the hell out of taking the new guy and not being able to know if he can follow through on the job.
Right? We've gotten repeat business from people because our staff speaks English.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that that's a huge thing in the residential world as much, because homeowners are generally calling whoever they dealt with to get the job. They're not dealing with the on-site staff maybe as much, but commercially, having people on site that speak English is a big deal. And where I've bumped into.
Yeah, I can see that.
So when you guys were starting out in commercial, were you guys more willing to do things for the GCs, or maybe even like a new relationship, as opposed to what you are willing to do now for them? Just to get that relationship going and just to get like some sort of...
Are you talking about like with my own company or when I started doing commercial work?
I guess it just depends. Either one. More so probably your new company, but that's tricky because you've already got relationships anyways established.
I'm probably more forgiving now than I ever have been. And this year I'll probably be even more forgiving than normal. Because like our situation changed drastically.
Right.
How we have sourced and gotten work over the past 5 years came to an absolute shuddering halt. So for us this year, this is a completely new way of finding work. So for me, I'll probably be more forgiving and move the soil up and say things like, well, give me a last shot. You know, I want last shot. Having last shot is the most important thing in commercial contracting, period.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing more. There's nothing more important than having the last shot, because whoever has the last shot really controls the job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's a lot of, like, the more you talk to the estimators and get to know them and shoot the shit with them, the likely you are to get that last shot, right? And that has been my golden ticket a lot of the time. Even if we can't follow through with our last shot price, it's great to know at least we had the opportunity. Thanks so much. We'll try on the next one. You know, like, there's been times where I couldn't do the price for what the other guy could do it for. So good luck with them, but don't forget us on the next one, you know?
Right.
I've taken jobs too, where I did it to protect the client, because I didn't want someone else working for them. When we, you know, when they would call up and even if the price was ridiculous, I've said, yeah, no problem. Because I don't want them working for that person and doing exactly what you said, getting to know the project managers and getting recommended for the next one. And
it's yeah,
easier just to keep people out.
Did they know that you were doing that?
Who?
Well, the GC. Did you make it clear to them that you were doing that?
Didn't tell them. Yeah.
I would tell them that. I'd be like, we'll do this for you. Just because we want to maintain that relationship.
I might have said that. I wouldn't say, listen, I'm trying to fuck the other guy and make sure that you don't get to know him.
Oh, I would tell them, tell the estimator all day, I'm trying to fuck this guy. I don't want him here. I don't even want him close to me. I will work for fucking and I posted it this week. I will work for nothing to drown some of these other fuckers this year.
Chad, I'd subscribe to your Instagram.
No, there's been, I probably went to 4 or 5 quotes this week, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to write this dog shit price because I know there's other guys in here that I don't want to have the job. Like, if we're all going to the food bank this year, I'm taking all the good canned shit, you know? It's just cutthroat. And are we still going to make money? Yeah, we're still going to make money. We're not going to make the margins that we did the last 2 years or whatever. But we'll still do all right.
God, I hope I don't make the margins I made last year.
So earlier on in the podcast, we talked about thresholds of change orders that we would eat for residential homeowners. Do you guys have a threshold of change orders that you guys would eat for commercial or generals?
None. You shouldn't but have
like,
to eat
but like shit, you yeah. said, you showed up on site and you'll extend that olive branch. Like, hey, I've got equipment. If you need something moved, let me know. Like, if they start saying, oh, I've got a truck over there that needs to be unloaded. And
all right. So last week, we weren't on site because it's like pouring rain every fucking day, which is a whole different topic. And I was at this before. I will forget this, but this is. So I was at a residential quote today with Nancy Green, who was 5 minutes fucking late. But I posted it on Instagram, so everyone knew she was 5 minutes fucking late. And it's a pool has been backfilled in the backyard. And I'm standing with the homeowner, and it's like a fucking like, it's hard to set grade in the backyard when you don't even know what that someone's building, but it's low. And there's water puddling everywhere. And I looked at the homeowner and said, this is good. Solidification. This is great for your project. This is going to make your project way better in June. The solidification that's going on right now is really going to help. They're like, yeah, this is great having a muddy backyard. I was like, I don't, sure. Yeah. Oh, wow. It just rained so fucking much. So... the fuck was your question? Oh, so they called us and the GC called us and they said, can we borrow your skid steer to move some garbage from the building to the garbage can because they had a rental skid steer on site, but and someone at the higher ups past the site super saw that the rental skid steer was only supposed to be on the job till April 15th and then just took it away. Now the job's not finished or even close to finished, but the skid steer is gone because that's where, or what, I don't know exactly what happened. I'm making a guess on that, but that's what typically happens. So they call this, say, can we use your skid steer? So you're in a bad spot because if you say no, you're an asshole. If you say yes, bad shit could happen to your skid steer because no one, none of your people are on site and it's an expensive piece of equipment. So my solution in this moment, that moment, was to make them send us an email taking all liability, which wouldn't hold up in court anyways. We all know that. I would still get my ass sued if something happened with the skid steer. But at least I forced them to make some effort before I said yes. And that was my only goal. I wanted them to have to do something before they borrowed our fucking skid steer. And they did it. And they liked it. They did it with a smile on their face. I'd like was to think, I didn't see them, but I'd like to think they were smiling.
It wasn't the mammoth, was it?
No, it was not the mammoth. Oh. We have a buggy from mammoth right now.
Oh yeah, true.
So here's something I was thinking about with the mammoth. And I think that I'm gonna make a video about this. So if you listen to the podcast and you see this video later, and it's not as funny because you've already seen it, tough luck. Or heard about it, tough luck. So the thing about any track carrier, well, the mammoth in particular, because it's got a seat and it's got a front on it, right? I think that these style of track carriers, the mammoth in particular, are the answer to landscapers who don't have a license and don't want to ride electric bikes. I don't know why people aren't ripping these things down the sidewalk every day. Like, it goes like 10K. And if you want to go shopping, you got a bit like, you see these fuckers on their electric bikes with 15 shopping bags pounding down the road. Why the fuck don't they have a mammoth? You line up all your shopping bags, you can put a canopy over it, and you just drive down the street. It takes regular gas. It's a Honda motor. It's easy to maintain. I think that they should be promoting that market more. We were also debating this week if we should do a Terry Fox style run while driving a mammoth across the country, except no one's sick or dying and there's no real reason for it. But we'll just drive it across the country and make a video.
The but entire country?
I think, well, I think people would get into it.
Terry Fox didn't even make it across the entire country.
I believe a mammoth could.
But at least his leg was probably made in North America.
What are you saying? The mammoth isn't made? I think
no shots against the mammoth.
Mammoth's great.
But
it would carry your groceries. Well,
the important thing is the mammoth would service it.
How much of your so just as an aside, Mike, can you please Google how much of Chad's Dodge Ram pickup truck was made in North America?
Oh, I wouldn't even know how to start with that.
I was trying to get it away from made in China. I just didn't want to say made in China.
But you said not made in North America. So it's yeah. Cool. If the mammoth was made in Mexico, you're cool to do a cross Canada trip on it. But if it's made in China, you're not?
I think you're a lot. Mexico is going to get you a lot further than China. But that's just me.
I don't think so.
No?
I know this much. We have encountered no issues with the mammoth, and the Toro buggy we have is constantly fucked up
okay.
And costs way more and has tons of electrical issues and constantly doesn't fucking. Brad has spent more time fixing that than almost anything we fucking own because they also don't offer any kind of service with those things. Really? If you had a problem with the mammoth in Saskatchewan, Mo's coming.
That's what I mean. Mo stands behind his product.
They ain't coming if you're in fucking running a Toro. They don't give a fuck about you.
So the Ram 1500, 63% of the content comes from the U.S. or United States.
What about heavy duty?
The engine source comes from Mexico or Italy. Transmission source from U.S. or Germany. final assembly in US.
Well, more than half.
The highest is Honda Ridgeline at 65%, but it says number 9. I don't know why. Oh, these are probably all vehicles. It doesn't, I can't get to heavy duty on this. It's all 1500s.
You can't imagine a heavy duty's better.
No.
43% of your truck that you drive around in every day, man.
But it is of the top four in terms of that weight class, I guess. Honda Ridgeline, Toyota Tundra, Jeep Gladiator, and then the Ram 1500.
None of those are full-size trucks.
No.
Well.
I did like this debate, though.
The Ford F-150 is 30%.
30%?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're made in Mexico, aren't they?
The engine or the, yeah, the engine comes from US or Mexico. But 30% of the content is from North America.
I had to buy a new Packer this week.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
$10,000. So it was a Weber or what's that other brand that they're exact the same?
Bartell Global.
Bartell, yeah. What's the deal with those two? Like, they're the same, but not. Like, one's made in Germany. We bought the Weber, so the German one. And it was like $2,000 more than the Bartell one, but they didn't have the Bartell one. So I don't know.
Supply chain issue.
COVID.
Would you have bought the Bartell?
For $2,000 less, yeah.
It also is Allman recommended.
Yeah.
I like my Bartell.
Yeah, we have a Bartell. Do we? I think we have a Bartell. Our little one with wheels is a Bartell, I think.
We have Webers, I think.
Yeah.
Try to avoid any kind of packing.
Mm. Our big one shit the bed.
Just use water.
Just use water.
Solidification.
Hydropack.
Solidification, baby. Solidification.
Chad, what about you with the change orders that you're willing to eat from the GC or just favors, or if you don't want to call it a change order or whatever?
We're happy to help move a thing or two around site there, but we're not unloading your trucks for you or anything like that, right? Like, if it's a 10-minute thing, fine. There, as far as change orders go, on commercial sites, everything's in writing when it comes to change orders. There's a price assigned to it, but for the most part, before you start anything, right? It's not often that they'll say, oh, just bill us time and material for that. It does happen sometimes. But
and that goes bad.
Yeah, that never goes.
That always goes terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. It always goes awful.
Yeah, well, we'll give you half. What do you mean? It took 10 hours to dig that. Oh, yeah, but we'll give you half.
But your guys went on lunch, man.
Yeah.
They weren't working at peak efficiency. Okay, well.
Well,
they're people. They're not always at peak efficiency.
Yeah.
What happened to your other Packer?
It's an Atlas Copco. And I think Atlas Copco is out of business, or they were bought by someone. There's a little joystick in the middle that goes forward and back, and it broke off as he was driving it towards someone's house. So it had to do a quick loop-de-loop there and turn the Packer around, shut her down, and now it's just without steering, forwards or backwards. So,
what did the switch do?
It was just a lever that goes forward and back. It's not like the whole handle where some of the big ones, you know, the whole handle either sends it forwards or back. This one has a little lever. But
so you couldn't get a lever?
Oh, the mechanism inside is broken too, so it goes all the way down the handle. And it's the beginning of the season. I'm like, I'm not dealing with this shit all year. Let's go buy a new Packer and just start packing again. So, like, I don't know what the line is where you don't deal with the problem. You just buy another fucking machine. But apparently $10,000 is not the line.
That's sort of like my collection of bin trucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You haven't hit the line yet.
We have three bin trucks and one bin truck driver.
Yeah.
Well, because we just keep buying them. Because when one fucks up, I'm like, fuck it. If we had three, this wouldn't be a problem.
We have like seven packers in our company now that do some do different things and some do nothing at all because they're broken. But we just keep getting them.
If the average packer is 10,000, you have $70,000 worth of packers.
Oh, I don't. No, the average packer is not 10,000 though, right? Because a jumping jack's $3,500 and a roller packer is $3,500 and the two yellow whackers are like $2,500 or whatever. And the old Matt Packer is another $2,000 or something like that, you know. But
it's still a big investment in packing.
It's still, yeah, it's a lot of packing. And the big Mikasa diesel packer spits oil everywhere. So if you're running it, someone has to hold a rag in front of the motor. Like, you're not getting it on shit. But it's just a fucking weapon. But
wow.
I was talking to Tyler Hall this week from Hallscape. He called me. And so while we, on the day that we were going to move the soil up in the elevator for free, he was shoveling out around this spa that he had put in because the homeowner forgot to tell him they wanted to insulate the pipes. So he's shoveling all the HVB up by hand. So he called me, and in the conversation, he said a great quote, and I'm giving him proper credit for it. Now, Chad, you can repeat it and pretend you said it. That was okay. Funny.
Got it. Let me write it down.
Okay. Mike, I thought Mike would laugh at that, but he didn't.
I'm sorry. It's been a long day, and I completely zoned out and don't even know what you said.
He said that I was going to say a great quote, and Chad could pretend it was his.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Man, I'm going to put it in my – is it long? Is it short enough? I can put it right in my
– It is. It is short enough. Get your story out and get ready to type this quote.
Okay, go.
I feel like I'm shoveling money out of my retirement.
That's good. I like that.
How many L's in shoveling? One or two?
If you're short on characters, just give it one.
What?
Shoveling.
Oh, you're putting it on your note for the out of my retirement. T. Hall. Quote from T. Hall.
I think you text it to Amon, he'll talk about it on his show.
See.
Talk about what?
W.
Well, Amon said a while back on the podcast that if you text him quotes, he'll talk about it on the show.
I have his number.
Any quote?
Any quote.
Caleb's quote? Or Caleb's number?
Yeah.
Me too.
We should all text him the same thing.
Out loud.
I'll text him the same quote.
I don't have his number for some reason.
Oh, let me I'll give it, it to you. You out on the open air here for everyone to listen to.
I don't know what. Oh, maybe I just haven't texted him. I might have him as a contact. I don't know. I thought him and I had some kind of battle about him not me not giving him his phone number.
Oh yeah, that happened.
I don't have it in my phone, which is super weird. I really thought I did. I have this other Caleb. I don't even know who this person is. Let's see what we talked to him about. Something about bins. Anyways, you should text it to Caleb and say, I got this quote from Paver King through Tyler Hall. Talk about it on your show. Although I do feel like saying something like I'm shoveling money out of my retirement 100% leads to a great conversation about knowing your numbers. It just drives you home to knowing your numbers. Like, I got to know my numbers. I got to know my numbers. But it wasn't about knowing his numbers. It was about just a random thing that the homeowner woke up in the morning and said, oh, I should have insulated those. I probably watched some stupid fucking YouTube video. I was like, wow, I forgot to insulate the pipes. Oh, my God. Dirt Monkey on YouTube says that's wrong.
Speaking of YouTube, yeah. We've got two new YouTubers here on the show.
No, my channel's existed for a long time.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
I just haven't used it for fuck all.
I watched your guys' episodes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you think that 8 minutes was too long in the tanning salon for Bill?
I hear you're not supposed to go in there for very long.
he did six and it was okay. And then the next day he did eight and now he's a bit pink.
A bit pink. Yeah.
Does
is
it
he
hurt
going
to
on
touch
vacation?
Him?
Is that why? Like, because they say before vacation you should pre-tan so that you don't burn while you're down there.
No, he's like a weightlifter.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So he wants to tan up the bod for the summer. Well, he's actually more worried about the tan lines from being a landscaper because you can't wear shirtless shirts, right? You got sleeveless shirts. You can't wear shirtless shirts. I've been up for 47 hours straight. That's why he, I don't know why he's in it. He also has some lotion that he's got. It's on the episode. Subscribe to the Paver King YouTube and get the whole story.
Maybe you guys could have fishnet shirts this year at Paver King. That way he wouldn't have to worry about the tan lines.
The tan lines. I don't know.
Fishnet shirts.
Can you have fishnet shirts?
Can you? I'm sure millions of gay people all over the world would tell you yes. That's not a shot at gay people. It's just, I'd imagine that's something that they'd wear more often than not at those clubs or something.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
I thought that the crop shirt was more of an 80s Doug Flutie kind of look.
Okay. No, that's like a crop football jersey, is it not?
Yeah, I don't
like
think
they cut the bottom off there.
People were wearing those, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. But just spent thousands of dollars on high-vis shirts for my guys today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's,
do you think they appreciated it?
I think it's expected of us. Or is it? Because everybody has to be safe. That counts as their PPE, I suppose.
True. But,
I don't know. It's says a little something if everybody's nice and flashy and cool as opposed to sweat stained and ratty.
How many shirts is $1,000 worth?
30.
Well,
wow.
If you go to the Not Our Finest Hours store,
that's
you
right.
Can quickly calculate how many shirts you could get for $1,000.
That's right. We can announce the launch of the Not Our Finest Hour store.
Did you send the shirt to the guy that won a shirt?
I did not.
Fuck. It's terrible. I wish I knew how to send a shirt to that guy.
I will do that tomorrow.
If I knew how to send a shirt to that guy, I probably wouldn't have done it either. You know that Seinfeld episode where they say you don't hold the reservation? You take the reservation, but you don't. I'm good at running the contest. I'm not good at shipping the prizes for the contest. And I thought this shirt thing would be easier. That's why I ran a shirt contest. But it's still, this guy is shirtless. Somewhere there's a contest winner who's wandering around completely shirtless. And he's so deep in my DMs, I don't even remember who won the shirt. I should make a story saying, did you win a shirt? Who won a shirt? DM me. I don't know who the fuck won the shirt. And see how many people respond. Are you selling Landscape Daddy shirts, Chad?
I've got probably a good 10, 15 people that asked for a Landscape Daddy shirt.
Nice. Your logo, I like your logo. It reminds me of, do you know Fallout?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The video game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
You should get that like animated guy with like a hammer. But the same animated guy and have the that
same animated
beside
guy?
It. Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. I got some guy from Fiverr to design it.
Oh,
as
nice.
As per PK's recommendation.
That was top of mind because Fallout just has a TV show now.
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
Can't say I love it.
Really? I enjoyed it.
I thought it was fucking dry, the first episode, but either way.
Even like the slow-mo like scenes and stuff. People getting killed and stuff.
Yeah. First time I watched it, I was high as shit, so I can't say... I'm the worst at picking shit up. Like, if I'm high, I cannot focus on anything. But so I rewatched it, but even sober, I was not couldn't get into it. So we'll give it a couple more
I like
episodes
that
and
you
see.
are committed enough that you rewatched it sober.
I can't believe Chad finally watches a TV show or a movie that I can talk to him about, and he says it's shit.
It was such a big part of my childhood,
yeah,
early adult life, that I figured this is a TV show that I could maybe get behind, but didn't do it for me. Or maybe I'm just not that person anymore. Maybe I'm
Ooh.
my hobbies
You're so
have
mature
changed.
now.
You're grown.
So would
No,
you
no,
say
I'm
that
just
would you say
changed.
that when you were a young adult and you were dealing, I don't know what Fallout is, so I have no idea.
It's a video game.
Okay,
Yeah.
when you were a young adult dealing with Fallout and however you were doing that, did you not do that high?
No.
Really? So you have changed.
I have,
You
yeah.
weren't
I let's
high
get
as
this
a young adult, but you're high now?
let's get this
Who
straight. I'm not
randomly starts getting high at 35 when they weren't getting high at 15? I don't get it.
I've never been a big pothead, weed guy, anything, right? Like, I've always been more of a drinker,
Meth.
but no, nothing, nothing
Coke.
hard.
Heroin.
No, never. No, I
Fentanyl.
just Jesus.
We talked about painkillers earlier, so
Yeah. No,
sorry.
I just
Do you think that the reason you weren't high when you were playing Fallout when you were a kid is because you deeply cared about it and you wanted to make sure you performed at your optimum level?
potentially.
And now you
Yeah.
don't care.
They weren't two hobbies that mixed at the time.
I feel like they are.
Well, they could have been. Absolutely, they could have
Yeah.
been. But again, I've never been a huge pot guy.
Oh, okay.
So,
That makes sense.
I mean, it's not like this is a recreational, not like some of my workers all day, every day. Even after hours, everything, the whole fucking can't function without it. That's not me by any means.
They need a
But yeah,
buggy.
they need a buggy. That's for sure.
They can buggy their way to the grocery store.
Yeah.
How far would you make someone road a buggy to a site?
A track buggy or a wheel buggy?
Track buggy. What's a wheel buggy?
Oh. Well, yeah, they have them on wheels.
Yeah.
Like power wheelbarrows on wheels.
No, that's a walking. Well, okay, so maybe there is wheeled buggy. I'm saying like a standard, like say the Mammoth. How far would you make someone rode that to a site?
I probably
Two
wouldn't.
houses down.
Like
I think that's as
you
far
don't
as
even
you
know
can
where your
go.
trailer is.
This is the truth. He
What?
also has no one to road it anyway.
Yeah.
How far would you make them, PK?
I don't know. That's what I think is fun about this situation. If we have a job in, like, we have a job at U of T in Scarborough, which is, I don't know, a 45-minute drive.
In a
I would say
car,
in a
in a
truck
truck.
from our yard. Maybe not that. Yeah, in the truck. But see, there's no traffic because you can just boss that. You can boss right down the shoulder of the 401 with that bitch.
Know how far you'd get before you got pulled over.
I have rode an ancient, like a fucking fossil Kubota tractor, a good 20 kilometers one time. In late fall for my old boss.
Open cab.
Open cab,
Nice.
underdressed because you didn't think you were going to be doing that in the morning. Like far enough that the thing had to stop for fuel. Like you had to call someone for fuel to refill this thing. And the shifter was between your legs, and like it was a dinosaur, this thing.
I used to love the, oh, we had like a grass cutting tractor where I first worked, and I had like 20 gears. You could just keep shifting up, baby, and you could get that thing flying. And it had like, and you're sitting on it, and you're flying. And then there's this moment where you're like, "I'm going too fast. I'm going to die," and that was like the best thing. He'd just be like, oh, shit, how am I going to slow it down? And you start to get the speed wobble. It was amazing.
Oh, the speed wobble.
I drove a truck home from Highway 7 and the 404 to North Ajax when I was 17. It was a 10-ton single-axle dump truck. I drove it home all the way from there in second gear.
Wow. Nice. On purpose?
It blew it. The tranny blew, and it would only go into second gear. So I called the owner at the time and said, "Hey, man, what should I do?" And he said, "Drive it home. What else is there to do?
What else can you do?" Said, yeah.
It only goes 6 kilometers an hour. He said, "That's not my problem." I went, "It's not.
You're right.
I'm not sending anyone to help you or get you. So you can either drive it home or you can stay where you are. I'm going to bed."
Nice.
Cool, man. Because back then you were on a payphone too, hoping that he answered his home phone number because he wasn't at the office. When something went shit after hours back then, it really went for shit.
Yeah.
If you had a problem that didn't happen between 9 and 5 when the office was open, there was no cell phones.
Yeah.
There was no reaching anyone. There was you with a truck going 6 kilometers an hour down fucking Highway 7. With a bunch of pissed off people.
Love it.
Would you make somebody ride home on a buggy from Peterborough?
Would I?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could videotape it.
Put a GoPro on their head?
I don't know.
That could be a good YouTube video. See how far you can get on the 401 riding a buggy before you get pulled over.
Before the cops come?
Yeah.
Well, they're too busy not solving actual crimes, so I'm sure they'd come right away.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. If they had a choice between hunting down people who are shipping thousands of cars through the Port of Montreal or harassing a unlicensed landscaper who might have had a few on a buggy, they're going unlicensed landscaper all day. Why would you want to find people's cars? Just leave your keys right out at the door. Makes it easier. Why don't you text us and tell us where the keys are outside the door so that they can...
My algorithm keeps feeding me these carjacking and home invasion videos in Mississauga in the GTA. And then another one came up that it took 2 years for a guy to get off a charge for shooting somebody that had a gun in their house and invaded them at like 1 a.m. and was shooting up the place or whatever. It took 2 years for them to get off a manslaughter charge or something like that.
Apparently they don't even get off. Like, you go to jail if you get like this is a huge house.
That's a huge like win for
the criminal.
Our justice system, that this guy did not get charged for shooting an invader in his house who also had a gun and was shooting up the place.
Yeah, apparently the rule is you can meet them with less force than they come at you with. You can't meet them with equal or more force.
That's crazy. So
if they have a gun, you cannot have a gun. You get to have a knife or a fucking broomstick or something, but you cannot meet them with the same force that rule. They have. A liberal?
So I don't know if you guys saw that I posted last night this sign that had a reverse on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's designed for people looking in their rearview mirror so they can read it or whatever. But I got a whole bunch of responses to that, and one of them, that sign was designed for a liberal. Justin Trudeau, he's the man. If I was a liberal, I would be want rid of that fucking guy. Yeah. Because it's real. I'd be like, can this guy not lead the party for the next 2 years? Can we get the fuck rid of him? Because like, he's just such a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Like,
I think they're starting to feel like that. Some of them anyway.
Well, the polls show it, right? I think if the polls are correct.
Yeah.
Who knows? I feel like we should get this out of the way before I forget, or before one of us forget. We do have a shop. It is launched, notourfinesthour.com/shop. We've got stickers. We've got hats. We've got branded hats for each of us. So on the back of the Not Our Finest Hour hat is one of our logos. So if you want a Paver King, if you want a NDL, or if you want a I Am a Hardscaper logo on the back of yours, they're there too, as well as three shirts. And then we did get a one-star review, and we think we know who left the review. So we have a special shirt that's only going to be in the shop for, what, a month, a week? I don't know.
A month. Let's do a month. Month.
Okay. So that special shirt
has... Or until a month or until we get sued.
Okay. That makes sense. So that shirt, if you want to go take a look at it, we'll tease it so that we don't say it here, so that they actually go to the shop to see it. We believe we know who left it. So we have a shirt that says rated one star by this particular individual or a certain higher education level that they operate on the back of this shirt. So if you want that, that's only available there for a month. Other shirts are also available that I think will be like our cornerstone shirts, such as Take Massive Action, Not For Everyone, quoted by a particular CJA, and I Survived the Oppression Summit. So let's get that plug out of the way.
Housekeeping.
I'm excited about this store and the shirts. I think we can definitely crush out some more quote shirts.
I think so too. I think there's plenty of quotes.
I feel like I'm shoveling money out of my retirement.
That's a good one.
Yeah, right there. Tyler Hall. We should donate a dollar from every shirt sale of that one to
royalties. Back to his retirement fund.
Back to his retirement. There is available in the store a very limited edition oppression hat.
That's very true.
There is an oppression hat available. We promote everyone getting one before they're gone.
It should have some sort of utility to it. Like if somebody finds us three together and they show that they purchased the oppression hat, for example, they're wearing it, we'll take them out to dinner or something like that. It should have some sort of utility of such. McDonald's or something like that.
What you're saying is if someone buys the oppression hat.
Yes.
With the purchase of every oppression hat, you get dinner with the Not Our Finest Hour crew?
Yeah, you have to find all three of us in one place and be wearing the oppression hat and show us that you've purchased it.
I think it's a great way to buy your hour on the Not Our Finest Hour podcast.
Oh,
that's, to buy that hat.
That's probably a better idea than mine.
You can, you
being that we've only been together at one point in time for 15 minutes in 1.5 years.
So you're saying essentially, Chad, is if you buy an oppression hat, you get a 1 hour segment that we'll probably run over because we don't keep track of stuff very well on the Not Our Finest Hour podcast.
Well, I mean, we didn't conference this. So
yeah, this is just
this is the first we're talking about. It is live.
I love it. I don't need to conference it. Great. I think I think it's probably the best idea I've heard today.
Yeah.
And it could be anyone, right? It
could be a Polysand company.
Polysand company, yeah. Yeah. That's cheap advertising for someone.
Anyone who buys an oppression hat gets a 1 hour gig here on the podcast.
Arguably, the oppression hat in and of itself is worth the money, but you also get an hour with us.
And we'll post a picture of you on our Instagram wearing the oppression hat.
Now we're just giving away too much.
And 769 people will see you.
Uh,